Act to Live is sponsored by 3C Digital Media Network, LLC. Connect, communicate, and collaborate. That is the 3C way at 3CDigitalMediaNetwork.com.
On this episode of the Act to Live podcast, we continue our theme of exploring with a chat with Kirsten Nichter about resilience and how we can learn how to provide compassionate love towards ourselves and model that with children to promote resilience. So come on, let's take a walk with Kirsten together.
Jamie, we are back. Hello, how's it going?
Be good. How are you?
Good. We are gonna have a great show today. I'm so excited. Kirsten, who is here with us today, I've known her for, wow, Kirsten, over half of my life. Like, a lot more than half. I mean, and that's saying something. A lot more than half of my life. She is amazing. She is a, like, parent coach, a mom herself. It is going to be a fun episode today, right? It will be, like, filled with information and helpful hints and everything that Kirsten does, you know. So we are so excited having her here. Kirsten, tell us about you. Anything about you first?
Well, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to talk with you guys today. So I am a mom of three myself. I am also a certified parent coach, and I am also a special education teacher in early intervention and work directly with families in their home.
That's so cool. And so we will be kind of advertising her, like, page too. It is Connections Parent and Coaching.com. So please head over there and check her out. So how did you first get into, like, parent coaching, Kira?
So I've always been into coaching, played sports through college and loved coaching and still coach lacrosse today. It is. And I love the idea of coaching and helping people become better at what they are doing. And so working in early intervention, working with families and teaching families these skills, I'm really big on carryover. So, you know, I might go in and work directly with the child, but then I'm also giving parents ways that they can carry over these skills in the home. And when COVID hit, we had to go to this telehealth model. Mm-hmm. And at first, everybody in early intervention was like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? How is this going to work? It's not going to work. And the amazing thing is it did work. And it worked because we were empowering the parents with these skills. And so we were able to shift to this very coaching model where parents were learning the skills and then they felt more successful and more confident in carrying over these skills in the home. And we're seeing wonderful progress with kids. And it was this outcome that we didn't expect. So from that, I had always been really interested in educating parents and getting parents more on board with the process. But after seeing that, I was like, okay, I have to go back. I have to find something where I can get certified in this and really gain the skills so that I can work with families and empower parents to feel more confident.
Wow.
I love that word, empowering. I mean, just thinking about, you know, working with families where there's probably something they're struggling with, or just parenthood in general, right? Like, there are moments that are really hard, and this idea that you can work with the family so they feel like it's within me. I can make those changes. I can do this. Like, just that confidence I'm sure you help build is fantastic.
And I love what you said, because it is within all of us and it is there. It's just sometimes we need help seeing what we're already good at.
Mm-hmm. You know, and like this idea of like coaching parents, you know, how do you start? So if a parent like calls you and like says that they are struggling in any way, you know, where do you like begin with them?
Well, a good place to start is asking lots of questions and trying to understand what their perspective is, and you know, kind of taking all the information they give and then making sure that I'm understanding that and creating a game plan together. And that's kind of what the coaching process is. I'm asking you what your struggle is, where you currently are and where you want to be. And that's why it's so individualized, because it's so different for every family and every person. And then we create a game plan together to get there. And through that process, we learn skills, and skills that I'm still working on. You know, this isn't because I'm perfect or because I know everything or I'm doing these things every day, all day, because I'm not. I'm just trained in helping facilitate this change for you and helping you see the things that you're already good at. And then we can use those strengths and create a game plan to get you to where you want to be.
I love that idea of, you know, with them, a game plan with you. The idea of asking a lot of questions is the exploration, right? Part is and being really curious in, and that's what will help them. Now, are there certain kind of topics or areas that you tend to like focus on or like talk about with parents?
Yeah, it tends to be a lot of the same topics. So we talk about goals and goal setting. We always talk about self-compassion, because the number one thing I feel like we all could use a little more of, especially parents, is self-compassion. And oftentimes I feel like people think self-compassion is having pity, and that's actually not what self-compassion is. Self-compassion is about loving yourself through all of your mistakes so that you actually can do something different. And so I really think that's a huge piece of what we talk about. And with self-compassion comes regulation. So being able to find this calm, present space. And first we have to have self-compassion if we want to be able to do that.
Yeah, that makes sense, right? You know, is that you have to kind of love yourself to kind of know how to then regulate and move. Let me ask you, the self, compassion, how does that tie into like self-esteem? And I'm sure that that's a topic that you would also talk with parents about and kids about. And how do you approach that with like families?
So that's a great question. And it's funny because I do presentations on creating self-esteem, because as parents, we're really wanting to do this. But oftentimes it comes down to simple things like having self-compassion and modeling that for our kids. And this idea that we're not perfect and that's okay. We're perfect the way we are, and really kind of loving ourselves and all of our pieces and modeling that for our kids, and then allowing them to show up however they are and love all their pieces. And that doesn't mean that we don't work on things. That means that we're really aware of the things that we are working on and we're really good at.
See,
well, I'm thinking too about, like, as a professional, but also as a parent too, is a lot of times, like, we're focusing on the kids and, like, this idea of helping them to have self-compassion and building self-esteem and building resilience. And I feel like a lot of times the people who get lost are the parents, like, just the way the medical model is set up, right? We're often, you know, getting funding or reimbursement for working with the child. And then the parents are here like, well, hey, what about me? And I feel like I'm seeing that now as a parent of a child with different needs too, of like, oh my gosh, the parent piece is what's just missing across the board, not just in the school setting, but also in the medical setting. Like, and those parents are the ones that can actually make a lot of the change with that support.
Yes. I mean, if you think about services, we're in there such a short time. The parents actually are the ones that see the child more. And what's interesting is we often learn things. I mean, you guys probably can think of things in your head that you learned from your parents. And it wasn't anything that they actually sat you down at a table and taught you. You just watched what they did, and now you do that same thing. And so that's why modeling these skills is so, so important. So we talk about how we actually can do that. What are the actionable steps you can do as a parent to model this for your child? And then how do we have a conversation? The communication piece is so, so big in what I do, because we have to be able to have a conversation after the moment with our kids and getting comfortable with those uncomfortable conversations.
Getting comfortable with the uncomfortable. That is amazing. All by itself, right? And it's such a human, like, suffering, like, challenge, right? Is we
want to run from it, right? Like,
fight or flight, you know, right. Like, kicks in. Oh God, I really, really enjoy how you're, like, approaching this from, you know, how do we start to, like, model these things in a, like, natural way with the, like, parents first, right? So having them find that self-love, so that they're just starting to do it, and the kids, like, will see it, right?
Yeah. So oftentimes I have parents that come to me and they're like, oh, you know, every time my child makes a mistake, they, like, cover their eyes, and I'll say, oh, that's so hard. It's so hard to see. It is hard to see our kids struggling. No parent likes it. And then I will say, you know, I wonder, when you're in the kitchen and you're cooking and you make a mistake, what's your first reaction?
What are you doing? What are you doing?
What are you? And so this is a great opportunity not to be like, oh my gosh, I'm making a mistake, I can't believe I'm doing this. This is a great opportunity to build awareness, because guess what? We're all doing this, everybody. I don't care what those Instagram accounts say. Nobody's perfect. And so as parents, this is a great time that so that's what we talk about. We talk about parent wins every single session, because we have to focus on the positive if we're going to make those mind shift changes, right? That's the actionable step we take. And parent wins, they're not about the outcome, they're about the process. So it might be, wow, I was really aware of when I dropped an egg in the kitchen of how I wanted to respond. maybe I still screamed, but I was aware of it. I actually, you know, thought about it for a second. And that's a parent win, where we're starting to think about how we respond to mistakes so that we are teaching our kids how to respond to mistakes.
Parent wins. Now that right there is a like t-shirt, right?
Yes.
Like everywhere that I think every parent ought to have, like, here's your shirt and parent wins, you know,
what's your parent win today? Check in.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. I mean, cause that's like that question alone, asking yourself, what is my parent win today? You know, I think it would go a long way having them start to reframe, you know, how they approach parenting.
Absolutely. And that's basically what it is. It's we're starting to shift our mindset where we're not finding the negative things that we're doing. We're actually seeing the positive things. And so every week we start off with this. And at first it's really hard. It's hard for parents to see what they're doing right. So maybe they'll have one or two. And then by the end of, you know, our time together, we have like a list of things. And oftentimes as we go through our session, I'll write down parent wins and we'll talk about them afterwards, because sometimes parents are even unaware of things that are wins, and I'll show them through this coaching session. Wow. I just want to show you all these awesome parent wins that you had that I'm not sure you were aware of, but I want to show you what a parent win really looks like. Because what I heard was lots and lots of parent wins in that story.
Right.
And what's striking me as you're talking about this is I think it can be easy at times to think about, you know, teaching our children and creating space and having these conversations. And it's like, well, wait a second. A lot of times parents don't have that space for these conversations themselves, right? It's like, okay, you're a parent, you're an adult, you should, right? Quotes there, know how to do this. And how many parents are stretched thin and don't have time and don't create space for these conversations for exploration themselves, right?
I think that's what it is. It's like taking intentional time to learn these skills, because, like, you know, you have a baby and they hand it to you and they're like, see you later. Good luck. You should know all about all the things, but it's that should. I mean, right. If you pick up a new sport, you're hiring yourself a coach, right? Because you don't know how to do that. But it's like this whole, I feel like this negative spin, like if I need help as a parent. And you know, that's part of, you know, what I encourage people to do in general. If you don't know, that's okay. Like, be okay saying, I don't know, and reaching out for help, because we all need help.
Amen to that. I mean, every person on the planet, it doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter. All of us need support in all kinds of ways.
And that's part of, like, oftentimes when I do these classes, that's often in there too, like, create your village. Who is your village? Who is in your arena and who is your support? One of the best skills you can do as a parent is find the people out there who are going to support you and help you.
God, that topic alone, you know, and like, I'm sure asking like parents, you know, who do you trust to maybe help you out or call, you know, is and like make that list now and see what they do. You know, is it like, I don't know? And you're like, okay, so now this is something that has to be like talked about, you know, because all of us need a support system, because we're not islands, you know. It isn't how our like human species is built. It's a like social species.
It makes me wonder, and I don't know if you've seen this, Kristen, like, if this has changed over time. Like, I feel like, you know, people now move places so much more and like tend to be farther away or more transient, where like, you know, our parents or even our parents' parents, right? Like their whole community was also probably physically within, I don't know, 5 or 10 miles. So it was like there. And I feel like now most people I talk to, it's like, oh, I'm not from here, or my family's not from here, or most of my friends aren't here. And I'm just thinking, gosh, that has to be just a much bigger player in all of this these days too.
I think so. And I think for some reason, in general, we are less comfortable reaching out for support, even though the research supports community. Like, in everything you read, we are wired for connection. Mm-hmm. And everything we read in resiliency research, community is one of like the pillars for raising resilient children. And so we have to model that as parents. And so I think that's a big piece of it, is that, you know, often we're alone, but we have to reach out and create a community of support then. And so when we are struggling, I often encourage parents, like, I don't know the answer to that question, but here's how you can go get it, right? Like, there is therapy out there. There are educational resources out there. There are social work resources out there. And so there are people available to help you in support groups for whatever it is you're struggling with. So if you don't know the answer, that's okay. But go find it.
You had just like brought up the word resilience, which is such an important word for all people, you know, and kids too. And so as a parent coach, how do you like talk about that, you know, with a parent or like, you know, group of parents? And how do you build resilient skills too?
So this is a great question, because I think oftentimes we feel like there's an end game here, right? Like, I'm going to get to a point and I'm going to be resilient and here I go. And often these skills that we're talking about, even parenting, it's a process. And sometimes like parents are like, oh, so I'm going to continually have to work and figure this out. And I'm like, yeah. Like, it's not a, hey, in 3 months, when you're done with this, you're going to have all the skills you need and you never have to work on them again. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have to see resilience as that same thing. And what the research shows is that resilience is more about like teaching of the process, right? Mm-hmm. Focusing on the process and not necessarily just the outcome. And we were talking about the weather. We're such an outcome-based society. You know, if the weatherman says that it's going to snow, it's going to snow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Now for all of you out there, all of us, like, we're kind of talking about like the weather and how, you know, it doesn't change. And it's kind of such an important kind of like basic, right? Is to accept things that are just there, and that they're not in our, like, you know, control, you know, and to kind of move forward from that.
Right. And I think, you know, I think the big thing is remembering that resilience isn't about failing. Actually, resilience is about failing, but it's how you respond. It's how you get back up. Mm. And so it's not about having the easy life, and it's not about never feeling the hard things, and it's not about always being right. Mm-hmm. you know, resilience is how you respond to stress. And we all have stress. We all have things in life that don't go the way we planned.
Often, right? I mean, how often, like, does a plan actually happen exactly how we had in hand? It's rare, isn't it? I mean, it's like, oh yeah, have this plan, but it usually always changes, in at times like small ways, at times huge ways. You're like, what the f-? And you know, I'm in a whole other state. How did I end up here? You know, I love how you said it's how you like get back up. I think there's a lot of value in allowing our kids to fall down, mm-hmm. and then talking with them about, here are your options, mm-hmm. right now. Like, staying down is an option. That's it. It's there. How do you possibly want to stand up again? On your knees, on your feet, holding a hand, you know, so there are options to that next step after a person falls down.
Yeah. And when I do this live, you guys had the actual presentation, but I'm kind of chatting with parents, and I often give the visual for parents, you know, because oftentimes I'm doing this at like the preschool level, where your child, you know, all kids play with blocks and they're trying to build a block tower and they're trying to get to 10 blocks and they're trying to build really, really, really high. And inevitably the block tower falls over. What do you do as a parent when that happens? Do you run over and do you rebuild the block tower for your child? What does your child do? Do they throw the blocks? Do they get upset? Do they say, I can't do this, I can't do this, and walk away? And these are the first, you know, through play, kids are learning these skills at a young age, and it matters how we respond, and it matters how we teach them to respond, because life is all about that. I'm trying to build a block tower and it's going to fall over. And so I have to be able to give space for those emotions. Yes, I know that's really frustrating, but what can you do? Can you build that block tower back up? I bet you can. Your child doesn't need you to do it for them. Mm-hmm. They need you to hold space for those feelings, and they need you to encourage them through that really hard time. So that someday when they're playing by themselves and they're building that block tower and it falls over, they continue to rebuild it until they get it to 10. And then they say, look what I did. And then we can celebrate their effort and the fact that they stayed with this really hard task. And because they were resilient, they were able to feel super amazing about this fabulous black tower.
Right. Oh my God. All the way through, right? I mean, yeah, that's, you said like so much there, and like space, creating space. But so the parent response, and you know, I love that. And you had, I read in your presentation this term, success oriented response. Tell us more about that, because that sounds so positive, like forward moving.
You know, so similar to growth mindset, which a lot of people have heard, where we're really focusing on the process of learning that black tower. So, or learning not just the black tower, but we're focusing on the process and not necessarily the outcome, right? So, you know, if our child's trying to build a block tower of 10 and they get to 5 and it falls over, we can say, wow, you did such a great job getting 5 blocks. I bet if you keep going, you could maybe get to 10. right? But if we say, well, you said you were going to get to 10 and you only got to 5. I mean, that's such a different message that we're sending our kids. And we want to teach them how to stay with a task and be resilient. And so we have to focus on the wins and we have to focus on the process. And so hopefully, yeah, we want to keep with that goal. We don't want to give up, but really creating a different mindset and showing our kids how to do that. Because, you know, we see this in all sorts of things, like, you know, where we want our kids to do well in school, but what does doing well in school mean? Do they have to come home with straight A's? And what does doing well mean for your child?
That's so important. And I feel like really focusing on kind of normalizing that no one's perfect, which I feel like we all know. And yet knowing that, right, we were talking a little bit about this before, but like knowing that there's no such thing as perfection, and then feeling and believing and living that, not only for kids, but also for parents. I mean, that's like a totally different story.
It is. It's so hard to put into practice. It's so hard because you're right. We say in society that nobody's perfect. And yet somehow there's like this underlying message that you should be perfect, that you should be good at everything, and you should be involved in everything. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, even, you know, I hate to say it, but like this idea of like no child left behind. Mm-hmm. You know, where we're like going to keep kids moving. And I feel like as a whole, we don't say to kids in a kind and loving way, hey, you are so great at this thing over here and maybe not so great at this thing. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. That is perfect. You are perfect just the way you are. And maybe you're not great at math, but you are so good at all these other things. And does that mean you give up on math? Nope. You work really, really hard. And I'm going to teach you how you can work hard and do the best you can for you.
And that's such an important, like, modeling, like, mm-hmm. human idea and theme, right? I mean, like, I could not play pro, like, basketball, and I still enjoy playing basketball. And that's what matters, is that I, as an individual person, enjoy those moments I play, because I don't have to have, oh, a goal of playing in the NBA. I don't care about that. I like that individual feeling of, oh, I'm outside and I have a ball in my hand and I'm watching the like sun fall and set. So, you know, so there's that individual, I guess it's, you know, back to like self-care and self like love, and also honesty too, and say, I don't have to be the best at anything, as long as I'm the best like version of who I feel loving about, like towards myself, and that being modeled by a like parent, you know, who also lets a child know about themselves, you know, mm-hmm. and say, hey, I am not perfect. Oops. Okay. I'll move on. And, oh, I like doing these things and I don't like these things. And it's not that I don't care about them, but it isn't me either.
Right. And I think it's important to have those conversations and model. And sometimes I have families like kind of overplay it in some ways, where I'm like, so the way you're going to practice this at home this week is while you're in the kitchen and you make a mistake, you're going to say it out loud. You're going to say, oh, wow, I just put the wrong spice in the cookies. Man, sometimes we all make mistakes. What can I do now? And we're actually going to narrate this for our kids so our kids can see us making mistakes and talking to ourselves kindly and then problem solving after.
See, that's that like next like step too, right? It's where it's like, oops, and then problem solving that like creative thinking, like, okay, how do I move again? How do I move? How do I stand up again? Well, here are my options to move is, and saying that out loud, you know, in this kind of, not in this hurtful or like blame or like sad or like angry, pissed off way, but in this, huh, I'm curious, what could I do right now?
Right. And what you actually are modeling for your child, and the reason you can get to that thinking brain is because you were regulated, right? Mm. So when we get upset and angry and blame ourselves and talk down out loud to ourselves, oh, I can't believe I did that. I'm so stupid. I do that all the time. I always grab the wrong spice. Then we go into this and we can't actually get to problem solving because we're so emotional, right? Like we're filled with so much emotion because we're not practicing self-compassion there.
All right.
And the script looks so much different when we do. Oh man, I can't believe I just put in paprika instead of cinnamon. Holy moly, that is so crazy. Ugh. Sometimes I make mistakes. It's okay. What can I do?
Yeah. Yeah.
When it comes back to empowering too, right? So it's like you're helping the kids to realize that they have the power to then do something, right? Which goes back to that action piece of, okay, there was a mistake. I'm not holding on to that. So now I can create space to say, well, what do I do? And how do I solve this myself and move forward?
Right. And I love that. And I love narrating things out loud and modeling that for kids. So when I'm working with kids and we are actually working on block towers and the block tower falls over, I'm like, no big deal. That actually was kind of fun. Let's try again. Hmm. And so modeling how I do that. And then I start to put the block tower back together. So I'm modeling it and then they start to join in, right? So like sometimes when we're first learning a new skill, we have to meet our child where they are. And then we can like back up the support we give them.
So great. I mean, I meet children where they are and then you move from there and model from there. Oh, Kirsten, this has been amazing one. And we have to have you back on again, because this is a must. There's so much to like talk about,
like a million more questions.
Regulation, like all by itself is its own show. So everyone hang in, don't worry. Like she will be back.
And self-compassion and
absolutely, yeah, we could just do self-compassion for like a week probably. On the show we do like an action event, a question for our audience to kind of do a first like step. So is there something that parents can do right now, you know, in like taking a first step towards like modeling or like self like love, resilience, you know, that first kind of opening hesitant step?
You know, I think one of the things that I'm really big on, like parent wins. So you could write down a parent win every day. Mm. And another part of this self-compassion practice is gratitude. Mm. And gratitude is one of those things that is so research-based that really can help shift your mindset. And again, I love to be able to teach this to families. So not only are parents doing it, but we're modeling this for kids. And so one of the ways that I encourage families to embrace this activity, because again, it has to be actionable steps. If we're going to change, we can't just talk about it. We actually have to take action. And I like to put into practice a gratitude practice. So if you sit with your kids in the morning and have breakfast, if you sit with your kids at dinner, do it during dinner, whatever works for your family and your routine, but try to go around and say one good thing that happened that day. I'm really happy and I'm super grateful that my friend came and sat with me at lunch. And so we're going to start to do this together as a family so we can model this for our kids so that they can learn to focus on the positive and have gratitude. Hmm.
Talk about amazing things that can just shift an entire household. Right. I mean, just like totally turn it upside down in this positive, loving, growing way by just starting with this idea of how did we like win today? And right. Then how do we appreciate what we did today? Just like two things to kind of
take a couple minutes.
I mean, it could.
And it could change everything, right? Like, what's my parenting win? What am I grateful for? A couple minutes that could just be a huge game changer completely.
Yeah, and the kids love it. And we used to do this at dinner and our kids loved it. And when their friends came over, they like their friends were like super excited to be like, no, I get to share mine.
Oh, that's so
true. I can see that too. I could totally see that. And Mikey, you know, saying, okay, watch your win. Getting big, you know, and loud. Not that he ever does that.
You know what's so funny is like we did this before I took this class, before I did parenting wins, before like I did the research on gratitude. So we just used to do this at the dinner table where we shared one good thing that happened every day. But it's the same concept. It's focusing, it's actionable steps on gratitude. And it does help shift that mindset, you know, because things happen to us. We talked about this, like everybody has bad things that happen to them every day, right? Mm. It's a bummer. And it's so easy to get caught in that.
Yeah. So easy. Kirsten, it has been amazing to hang out with you here and hear all of this. It's so important, especially now when like parents, you know, are probably struggling in all kinds of ways in like human ways. We are all people and human, and we are not perfect, and we won't ever, you know, and kind of getting help from someone like you, you know, who can talk about this like self-love and, you know, resilience and, you know, how do we take actions to kind of like model is so vital. So please, everyone, hop on over to connections parent coaching.com. Cure, any other like plugs for your Instagram or like Facebook or any like presentations coming up or anything?
Well, I guess what I would want to say is absolutely check out Instagram, check out Facebook. I'm hopeful to have some online classes at some point because I've had lots of families ask me for those. But what I really want to say to parents out there is that I'm not here because I'm perfect. I'm here because I have skills in this. I'm trained in this. I have experience in this. And me, myself, as a parent, like I'm struggling with these same exact things that people are struggling with. And so I'm able to help people partly because I've gone through it myself. I totally understand. And I'm not in it, right? Mm. I'm not in your struggle. So I don't have to jump in the hole with you, but I can support you. So I just want to make sure that people aren't like, wow, she's like, you know, she knows everything about this topic. And, you know, that's not what it is. And I just want to make sure that people are really clear that I'm not here to judge them. I'm here to support them. And I'm able to do that because I'm also struggling myself. Like, I've struggled with these same things as a parent and with my own children.
She is humble on top of it, folks. So, I mean, she is just like lovely in all kinds of ways. So please, like, call her and reach out to her. Again, all of us need support in all kinds of ways, and that's why she's here. Kirsten, it has been a pleasure, honor. Thanks for like being here with us. And you will like be on again, so it'll be awesome again.
Thank you so much. It was so great chatting with you guys.
Thank you.
All right, everyone out there, have a great afternoon, evening, like day, morning, and we will be back again soon. Have a good one. All love. Bye.
If you would like to donate to the Act to Live podcast, you can find us on 3cdigitalmedianetwork.com. Act to Live is sponsored by 3C Digital Media Network, LLC. Connect, communicate, and collaborate. That is the 3C way at 3cdigitalmedianetwork.com.
Thank you for walking with us on this journey of life. Act to Live is a place where we can observe everyday life, pose questions, and facilitate conversations together. Our hope is that by participating in this podcast and connecting with each other, we can all become the best versions of ourselves and learn from each other's stories and experiences. You can find us on acttolive.com, Apple Podcasts, formerly iTunes, the Android Podcast app, Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you stream your podcasts. We've also just joined Patreon and YouTube, so be sure to check those out when you have some time. Thank you for listening and sharing time with us. And as always, come on, let's take a walk together. My dear will grow.